Back in 2013, this happened.
We begin with a massive and sudden building collapse right in the heart of downtown Philadelphia. One woman is confirmed dead. 12 people have been taken to area hospitals after authorities say a vacant building being demolished collapsed onto a thrift store, trapping those inside, some of them for hours.
And you can see ultimately, six people died in the accident. And it turned out the contractor in charge of demolishing the building had never done a project like this one. Afterward, city officials called for changes to the way the city oversees demolitions.
I think they did try to more closely monitor demolitions, at least for a while, but it seems like it wasn't enough.
Philly is in the middle of a construction boom, and neighbors are stepping up to try to prevent accidents. But why does the city need their help? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Reporter Mayor Rindy looked into how this is playing out in one rapidly developing neighborhood, Fishtown. So when did Sarah Gallo first hear that the twin attached to her house was going to be torn down?
This was back in February. She learned that a developer had purchased half of the twin home, the other half of the twin home she lives in.
We're renters. We've been renting here since 2017.
And was planning to tear it down and build a new house there. And she was concerned about it, quite concerned when she heard about that project.
Why was she concerned?
Well, there's been a ton of construction in Fishtown and the surrounding neighborhoods in the past few years. And Sarah was certainly aware of it. There had been projects on her block.
And can you tell me what you see over here?
Let's see. It's the big multi-unit project on Columbia. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stories. And this is their access point is here on Earl Street. So they've been using Earl Street as their driveway and staging area for the entire.
And she'd also heard about some of the worst problems where houses next to houses where excavation was being done had actually collapsed. There was a house on Thompson Street a few blocks away that had collapsed after there was construction next door.
There were members of the family who had experienced the collapse on Thompson Street that reached out to me personally and were urging me to flee the house. And I honestly didn't know what to do.
So what happened to this other family on Thompson Street?
The contractors were excavating the basement, and they damaged the shared foundation wall with the house next door.
My family, my grandparents bought that house in the late 50s.
I spoke to Jennifer Romanu, whose grandmother owned the house.
So there's construction going on next door. It was off and on for a while.
And whose relatives were in the house at the time of the collapse.
My relatives describe it as kind of a catastrophic shift. Like all of a sudden, the floor dropped.
Suddenly the house started sagging all around them.
The stairs separated from the walls, the ceiling dropped, and the whole house filled with dust.
And they tried to get out. The front door was jammed. They had to bust it open.
And carry my grandmother out in a wheelchair with just the clothes they had on, grab their jackets as they ran out. And that was it. Early February, freezing cold day.
But they did get out. They survived.
Wow.
And after about 6 or so hours out there, they deemed it imminently dangerous. So we could no longer go back into the house. So that was Friday. And then by Sunday, it was just so unstable that they had to send a demolition crew out to start to demolish the house next door. As soon as that happened, both houses just completely fell like a house of cards. What we know now is there was unpermitted construction going on there, and what they were doing was digging out around the foundation, which compromised the foundation of both that home and my grandparents' home. And it compromised it to the point where it was completely unstable.
So Sarah heard about what happened to Jennifer's family and looked at what was happening next door and was concerned. So what did she do?
Well, after the Thompson Street collapse, a lot of people joined this Facebook group called the River Wards L&I Coalition, where they were sharing stories of construction misery and putting up pictures of apparently illegal or unpermitted construction. They had 1,900 members and growing since that collapse got a lot of attention. So Sarah joined the group.
I think I first voiced concerns about what was going on here in another Facebook group. I think it was a Fishtown, just a very general Fishtown neighbors group. And I was directed to the River Wards LNI Coalition.
And she met Venice Whitaker.
My job title is I'm Constituent Service Representative for Council President Daryl Clark for the 5th District.
And also is very active in the neighborhood. She's one of the people who started the Facebook group. She started noticing this problem with construction, or what she calls construction destruction. There was an incident where a cafe up there,
Rock a Cat Cafe,
was being renovated, and the developers accidentally caused a partial demolition of the building.
And today the site still is half built, you know, for whatever reason.
There was another incident where there was redevelopment on her block, a building that a lot of people were concerned about, and then one day a chunk of the building just fell off in the street.
It smashed to the ground at 5:30 in the morning.
Venice and other people reported it.
He got hit with like a bunch of violations.
The developer threatened to sue Venice,
saying that I was at fault for multiple reasons, and it was only a cornice that fell and no one died.
So she became aware of the conflicts and the problems around construction in that part of the city.
So Venice is seeing all these construction issues in the neighborhood, and that's why she made the Facebook group?
Yeah, she and a few other people were noticing all these problems relating to construction popping up and the city perhaps not being on top of it or not being able to prevent a lot of problems or address them quickly. And so this was a way of informing the neighbors in this hot construction area and empowering them, teaching them how to protect their rights.
We have people that want to be developers and they have no background whatsoever in any experience of contracting, building, planning, engineering, none whatsoever. They have money.
When we come back,
the side of the house is probably still standing because I had to call attention to its fragility.
This is The Why. I'm Shai Benyakov. I'm talking with reporter Mayor Rindy about accidents from construction in Philadelphia's Fishtown neighborhood. Some neighbors have deputized themselves as freelance inspectors keeping an eye on potentially dangerous construction. So how does the city oversee contractors who are doing house demolitions?
Well, the city's Department of Licenses and Inspection, or LNI, says they can't oversee every project. There are many projects going on at any given time.
And it's not the role of a code enforcement agency to be there during all hours that a contractor's working.
I talked to Commissioner Dave Perry, and he said they're not looking to hire enough inspectors to do that. They really depend on neighbors, residents, seeing what's going on in their on their blocks and reporting it to LNI.
There always is this factor where we need to rely on the eyes and ears of the community to inform us of things that are happening.
So it's up to people like Sarah and Venice to tell the city when something looks dangerous?
Yeah, effectively, that's how it works.
So how do you do this work? Do you need a permit? Like, what kind of qualifications do you have to have?
Well, it's pretty easy to be a contractor in the city. You have to get a license. It costs about $100. And then you have to file various permits when you want to actually do construction. But you don't need any particular certification for the most part. And even so, sometimes people do the work without even getting those minimal permits. LNI has been ramping up its regulation since August. They've been requiring engineers to be present if there's an excavation job to actually be monitoring it and make sure it's being done safely. They have a quality control person who's been assigned to Fishtown. But LNI is not personally involved in every project and watching closely what's happened.
So you mentioned 1,900 people around 1,900 are now in this Facebook group. It seems like a lot. Why are so many people concerned about this right now?
Well, if you go up to Fishtown, you'll just see construction everywhere. There's this huge demand for housing in that area. Developers are responding to that. People want nice new housing. They want spacious housing. And there are height limits on how tall you can build buildings. So the developers and the contractors are digging down. And a lot of these developers and contractors are really not experienced. Someone might say, oh, I want to get into the development game and do a project, and it ends up causing a problem. And there's a bit of an epidemic of that in the Fishtown area.
They certainly have issues with the rapid pace of the intense level of construction activity.
And so that has really activated the neighbors.
Is the city thinking about changing the way it does things, given the problems that they're seeing as more and more construction and demolition happens?
Well, the commissioner is certainly aware of this, and he has some proposals for things he'd like done differently. He wants to create an excavation license, for example.
So the bottom line is, we're looking at more than just dealing with the immediate emergency and coming up with legislation that could put an end to some of the practices that we see and are realizing are detrimental to the neighborhood.
What do neighbors in Fishtown think the city should be doing?
People like Venice Whitaker say that they think L&I is doing a decent job. They want more enforcement. They especially want the district attorney to prosecute some of these developers and contractors who have been implicated in causing housing collapses.
We go back to what happened on Thompson Street. That family is still homeless. They still don't have a home. It's still a vacant lot. We need the district attorney to prosecute the individual who was responsible for collapsing the house. If we have more prosecutions, maybe these people will stop doing what they're doing to our neighborhood.
The Thompson Street case and a couple others at least have been referred to DA Larry Krasner's office. He hasn't prosecuted or done anything yet, so they're waiting to see what happens there.
So they don't think necessarily that L&I is being irresponsible here, or that a lot of this shouldn't come from the neighbors. They think that's okay. What they're doing with the Facebook group is the way to do this.
Yeah, the people I've talked to seem to recognize the limitations on what L&I can do.
Yes, maybe, you know, L&I can do more. I'm not sure what more they can actually do.
L&I can't be on every block. It can't know about construction work that is unpermitted because no one has gone in for a permit. And they say, this is the city. We know what it's like to live here. We are willing to be responsible for what's going on our block to a certain extent, but they want help doing that.
As a neighbor, as a homeowner, as someone who lives in this neighborhood city, you should know what's going on. You should understand. You should be able to see that, okay, that looks messy. It looks a little dirty, but it is correct because construction always is messy. And you should be able to understand that, you know what, that's not correct.
But it sounds like as this construction boom continues, L&I is going to be more and more reliant on neighbors. These neighbors happen to be very proactive, but it sounds like they're really going to need people on an individual basis to kind of step up and tell them when things are happening.
Yeah, it does seem like this kind of ad hoc system is what's working, what's helping going forward. In the case of Sarah Gallo, the half of the twin where she lives in was going to be demolished.
This house, the side of the house, is probably still standing because I had to call attention to its fragility. The developer had hired an engineer, like they do, and their engineer drafted a report.
Venice helped her get a hold of the report, and there were some problems in there, at least according to...
What kind of problems?
Well, it said that these were two separate houses when these were... It was really one building, and uh-huh. Half of it was going to be torn down.
So I couldn't let that stand.
So Sarah hired her own engineer at her own expense.
Engineers were recommended to me by neighbors, again, from the group.
Got a report that said, yeah, this is one house, and this demolition has to be done extremely carefully. Venice helped get that to L&I, and the demolition was delayed and was probably done more safely because of this. So this was the first time that the coalition had succeeded in delaying the demolition.
I'm not sure what the outcome would have been had the engineer's report stood. So I think that kept us a little safer.
So this shows how the system can work. It's a little ad hoc, but it does have a real effect on protecting residents.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks for having me.
Mayor Rindy reported this story for WHYY's Plan Philly. The Y is produced by me, Shai Benyakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen. Is there construction going on in your neighborhood that looks dangerous? Have you and your neighbors gone rogue to deal with the problem? Let me know. I'm on Twitter, @ Shai Benyakov. See you tomorrow.